Our opening scripture this morning comes from the lovely little book of James, five chapters. But I found that James, being one of Jesus' brothers, knew Jesus very well. And he never took any shortcuts in presenting truth. He's kind of an in-your-face. If he could stand among us and speak, he would be right in your face with stuff. And in fact, he wrote a whole chapter on just the words that come out of our mouth. That must have been important. But here it is, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Doesn't take you long to find it. My brethren, brothers and sisters in the faith, okay? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, there are many ways, several are a very prominent way or a common way of talking about trials and tribulations and patience. But I'm going to present looking at all those scriptures, but from a little bit of different perspective. The first, I have to start off by the most traditional one is, I never pray for patience because if I do, God's going to give me tribulation. Now, you're never going to hear that doctrine preached in this church. Okay, so you can be free. You can just open up your ears and it's safe now, okay? Right? That is a very traditional teaching of that scripture. That's why you can be joyful in tribulation. See, because the enemy's going to beat you up so that you'll get patience. We've already discovered, if you read a little further, in chapter 1, in verse 13, let no man say he is tempted or tested or put through trials and tribulations. You can't say I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempts he any man. So there is a quick way to eliminate where all the temptation, the trials come. They do not come from the Lord. God does not test you and take a little cattle prod and poke you through hoops and make you jump to work you through a maze of life to where you don't even know where you're going, like running through a cornfield and trying to find your car if you've been out parking and you get out of the car and took a lover's walk somewhere. You don't do that stuff. It's the enemy. He wants to push you. He wants to provoke you. He wants to disrupt your life. He's the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to do that. That's his mission. He wants to destroy everything beautiful that God created, and he created you. And it's important to know that there is a devil and that we don't have to dwell on his ministry. Jesus made it pretty simple. Number one, you need to know he's a liar. Number two, you know he's a deceiver. And number three, he's defeated. Those three things, okay? So, end of story concerning him. However, if you read the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit that's mentioned is patience. That means what? You already have it. Love, joy, peace. Those are all fruit of the Spirit. I just basically call those the evidence of God's indwelling presence. If we say that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there should be evidence in our lives. There should be something that people are going to see about us that demonstrate and prove that that statement is true. Patience is one of them. I like to describe it. I did a little mini thing at the men's advance one year. I got stuck doing the last meeting because the speaker had a plane to catch, and I got the remnant of the people that were left. I like the leftovers. God does a wonderful thing with the remnants. Don't ever feel bad about being last, because you're first with the Lord. And I describe it like, if each one of the fruit of the Spirit, if you had a t-shirt, and you had a Monday t-shirt, and that t-shirt might be love, and you get in a situation where somebody's in your face at work, and you just want to whack them with a brick, but you know you can't do that, So you wear Mr. Love t-shirt that day. Love represents something that you can put on because he's already within you, and you go around as love that day. And this is the love of God, not your love. It's the love of God. And the peace, when turmoil is going on all around you, that's the day for Mr. Peace to do his work. Okay, when you're waiting on the Lord, or you're waiting on somebody else, there's a waiting period. And there may be a time of going through some trouble along the way, some storms of life. We all experience storms of life. That's the day you wear your patience t-shirt. And you could just, this is just a word picture that I get with these qualities of the Holy Spirit that are on the inside of each one of us. So I don't ever pray for patience. I thank God that he already gave it to me. And patience has a work to do. Do you know what patience's number one ministry is? It's like a dying member ministry team that goes with you. Everywhere you go, you get this entourage of all these manifestations of the Spirit with the ability and the capacity to operate in your life, to do things on your behalf, to do things that you can't do on your own. Patience is when you don't have any. You have him. You have his patience. And notice what it says. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Well, Katie, you do some painting. All right? That's a skill. That's a gift. That's a talent. And a house with all the paint peeling off, what does it need? It needs to put some painters to work. When a person is coming apart at the seams and they're so impatient, oh my gosh, I learned that driving. After just coming back from India and you got 9 lanes of traffic that aren't even lanes anymore and they're all going like this, very few crashes. Because why? Because people just know how to navigate through the streets like that. Motorbikes, scooters, taxis, trucks, cars, bicycles, and it just all, it's like a big flowing organism when you go through the cities. It takes 2 or 3 hours to get through there, but you will get through there. Over here, if you can avoid an accident, most people won't. They'll ram into you looking for a lawsuit to rip off your insurance company and make money off your crash. But over there, they're not like that. They're not out to get you. So you drive over here right on the edge. How many times do you cuss and swear that somebody runs a stop sign and pulls out in front of you? And don't tell me you never thought of it, at least. Unless you're holier than I am. All right? So we get impatient because our life is going 100 miles an hour all the time. Well, God has given us the minister of patience, the ministry of patience. It's already down on the inside of you to keep you calm from doing stupid stuff. But like Peggy said, sometimes I don't hear him. I want to do my own thing. Well, that's not God's fault. He speaks to all of us. But listen, it says, the trying of your faith works patience. It puts patience to work. Patience is given to you as a ministry gift. It's given to you, if you could just see the Holy Spirit that day as the source of your patience, because he's down on the inside of you. So what does patience do? Let patience have her perfect work. Don't mess with it. He knows how to do the job. Leave him alone. Let him do it. You see, it takes, we're talking about the same verses. We're talking about troubles and storms of life and trials and temptations and all that. But James explains a little bit later, it's not God that's doing it. Now that's contrary to a lot of opinion about the Father. That God's the one poking you and prodding. Well, buddy, you better tough up. Tough love? I don't see that in the scriptures. I see that God crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. We put the tough love on it. We're going to teach that person something, so we're going to lovingly whack them a little bit. Straighten up, boy. It's not like that. When you really understand how the Holy Spirit ministers, the heart of God that he has, and that's on the inside of each one of us. When you see scriptures like this about let patience have her perfect work, don't get in the way. God's got it covered. You just stand. Stand on the word. Stand on his promises to you. But know who does what. People say, oh, everything happens for a reason. It sure does. The devil's got his reasons for what he causes. Don't make the mistake of thinking it's always God. God has things that happen. The devil has things that happen. But don't throw them all in the same kettle, because they're totally opposite. And the origins of them are very opposite. One is to kill you. One is to bless you. You decide which one that you're going to choose to follow. But patience is a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord has already given us. So don't be afraid. You don't ever have to ask God for patience anymore. This is a wake-up moment today. You never have to ask Him for patience. Why? Because you're going to hear Him say, you already have it. Ain't the Holy Ghost active in your life? So He draws attention back to the power source that's within each of us. I want to use this as an example. Ken and I use these microphones so that we get a really good quality recording of the service or the music. And now they have these really new Duracells. I like Duracell. That's a good battery. And I think of the Holy Spirit inside of each one of us, the one who endures with just energy and power that lasts a really long time. But now they've got this quantum. This takes it to a whole new level. It's like being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We all get the Spirit, but to be baptized in the Spirit is a total immersion in His power and His presence, not only in you, but all around you. It would be like if I took my little glass of water here and I put it in a big kettle of water. That's like the baptism of the Spirit. So you're totally immersed in all of His power and have all of His attributes available to you. Well, this little battery is like that. They took the old Duracell, but they added more to it so that it lasts longer. And the Holy Spirit wants to add more in your life today so that you'll last longer and that you'll win more battles, that the enemy will walk, and while he crawls, actually, and he trembles. Everywhere you walk and put your foot, he's trembling, because he knows that if you know who you are, you're crushing his head every time you take a step. He's defeated, 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 and he's under defeat of all the believers. So that's a good thought today. Patience, you have it. Mission Sunday, you all know this is a house offering to send somebody overseas. And I want to thank you. I came back alive and well. Thank you for the prayers. The plans of the enemy to kidnap me were thwarted. I told you about that. Doesn't mean I'm not going again. I'm not a coward. I'm not going to run, because every time I go, I know God's going to look out for me and care for me. But I always tell you, make sure that you consider getting a passport, because you never know when God might put it in your heart to go. Hook up with Bill or hook up with Simone or somebody else that goes, so that your confidence can grow in taking a trip. Ah, look at Bambinos. Yeah. See that? You're sowing to get them over there. All right, Kenny, would you like to pray this time for this? What a wonderful time for a song of praise like that. Oh, my. Now, last week, those of you that were here, remember we started part 4 of our long verse of Scripture from Colossians 1:10. Part 4 says, increasing in the knowledge of God. And we began to talk about how is it possible that God is so different than learning to know people, in the sense that he's way deeper than most of us will ever think of being. I mean, we could think of being, but deep isn't just deep to be deep. But the vast depth of God's love is indescribable. I think when Tom and I were coming back from the writer's seminar, and also this morning we were talking about understanding, and this thought came, I don't in and of myself have the capacity to know and understand how the Spirit works, how love works, how faith works, how knowledge works. But I just know it does. And that's the faith answer. I just know it does. And that's how all of these things work. It's by faith. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And so when you look at the word through the eyes of faith, it's like, look at the source. No one could give us a love letter so lengthy with so much love than our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Through the miracle of the new birth, we don't just know about God anymore. We know God. We know him through Jesus Christ, his Son. We look at the work of the cross. And even before that, we look at the life of Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. You know me, Philip, Jesus said. You know the Father. Look at me, Jesus said. And everything that you see me do, I do because my Father is the one doing the doing in my life. I don't do what I would want to do on my own. I do what he tells me to do. Jesus was God in an earth suit. And everything that he did reflects clearly the will of God for our lives. The will of God for all of mankind was reflected in the life of Christ. And so as time goes on, as we're born again, we're born into this wonderful family of God. We begin to grow, we begin to study, we begin to read and pray and seek to know him more. And I really would really like to believe it's true that those of us in this room really do want to know him more so that we can become more like him. So along that process, we also used an example of looking at how we get to know people more, how we get to know them better, and it comes to spending time. And even in our marriages, I told you last week, even with 39 years, oh, congratulations on your big one yesterday. 50 years right there back in that corner. That's worth shouting about right now. Yeah, still kissing after all these years. Hallelujah. Amen. Take your honey on a date. Woohoo! That's good right there. And I said last week, after 39 years of being married to Faith, I still find in many ways she's a mystery woman. And I love how you guys do that. You never give us all there is to be got. Always more to discover every new day, every week, every month, every year that goes by. But I've learned a few things about what makes her happy, what makes her sad, what she likes, what she doesn't like. I know better than to buy clothes for her. And I know that when I'm wrong, that I need to immediately ask for forgiveness. And if I'm right, I've learned to keep my mouth shut. I've learned several words and little phrases along the way that aren't cool. One of them is, I told you so. That's not good. A couple others. Well, maybe just one. Yeah. I think because I was given liberty as part of this to share this was that early in our marriage, and it's kind of like parallel with the Lord, because I kind of want to do this on two levels so that we can use life's examples to illustrate some spiritual truths as well. Is She said, if I ever start getting old and acting like my mother, please tell me. Now, this is from Hubby's side. Okay, you all got your own stories. So, but that was, so every once in a while, she wasn't old and she was still starting to act like her mom. So I would say that. I said, oh, you're acting like your mom. Well, finally, she'd heard about enough of that. Amen. Amen, that's right. Okay? However, I said, well, you told me, and I ought to tell you that. And I don't think that there comes a time when we have to know when enough is enough, and our mates let us know, if you're honest, you would. And finally it came to that point where she said, that's getting old and that's hurtful. And that was after we were married only 17 years. So that was 22 years ago. And I said, I will never say it again. And for 22 years since, I've never said it again. I don't even think it. Because it's like learning what pleases God, learning what doesn't please God, and being resolved in our spirit to take a stand against that. And I'll admit, it takes work. It takes diligence. It takes that patience that we talked about earlier. It takes a lot of self-discipline not to say things that we shouldn't say. How many times have we said or heard someone say, I probably shouldn't say this, but... Well, the but that follows is that which gets us in trouble, isn't it? I shouldn't do this, but God's a God of grace. And that's very careless living. And it can get us in a lot of trouble quick. But learning what makes him happy, learning what makes him sad. And the Bible uses the phrase, it doesn't use make God sad. It talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a personality. He experiences, he feels grief. He experiences grieving. And it happens when we say things that are contrary to our Father's word. When we adopt a faith system or a belief system that's contrary to the word, that grieves him, because it goes back to the cross. For God so loved you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so whenever we're not walking in love, whenever we're not walking in forgiveness, whenever we're not treating people right, even when they do us wrong, that grieves the Spirit. And he won't leave us alone until we settle it. Our hearing can get a little calloused at times, to where we zone out him speaking to us because it brings conviction, and we're so committed to holding on to something against somebody that we won't let it go. That grieves the Spirit. So learning to recognize, learning to hear. He speaks to all of us in ways that we each of us understand. He may speak to you differently than me, and he speaks differently to each of us, but he knows what it takes to make himself known. Did not Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice? Did you think he was fibbing about that? No, he wasn't, was he? No, he hears every word we speak. He knows every thought we think. Even before we express it, he knows it already. We're not going to con him. That's why I said, I comforted Mrs. Holloway a few days ago. She's going back to Florida tomorrow. She's going down to Connecticut and then catching her flight back to Miami, and she's terrified. She's 95 years old, and her worst nightmare is that Hillary will become president. And I said, don't worry. I'm serious. She's really terrified of that. This isn't the America that she grew up in. And I said, don't worry about that. She's going to die one day. and I didn't mean it flippantly, all the deceiving, all the mocking, all the con jobs that everybody's given God and people, and thinking they got away with it, the day's going to come and it's going to be a day that they're going to give an account for that. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers and be judged for our works and our words. But the non-believers are going to stand before the white throne judgment, and there'll be no hope for them. It'll be over. It'll be finished. It'll be the end. And we need to be mindful of that. Sometimes we forget that no matter how much evil that's going on in the world. Do you know, I came across a scripture this morning, and it had to do with Luke and the part of the Beatitudes. You usually find those in Matthew, but he repeated that in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus made this astounding statement that God is kind to the unholy and the evil. Why do we have such a problem with that? I thought that was really astounding, because sometimes we can get lulled into a false sense of reality and not even thinking about the fact that no matter how wicked and how evil a person does, Jesus said, even the rain falls on them. The blessings of God, the favor of God still is upon them, because that's what God did at the cross. And I know that that's hard for us to realize. God doesn't like the evil that a person does. But no matter how we see that person, Christ already died for that person out of the love that the Father had for that person. And so if we really want to get to know Him more, we have to start realizing that our walk in this world is very important to Him. Can we learn to love as He loves? Can we learn to love who He loves? Can we learn to love what He loves? Can we treat people the way He does? Can we learn His word and speak it with the same motive? Not to show how biblically smart we are, but because they're words of life. When God speaks, He spoke life to this world with His words. And we also need as we grow and learn what pleases Him. It pleases Him greatly when we speak His word in truth and in love. A lot of times we can speak the truth to somebody by speaking the word, but the motive always needs to be love for that person. Not because we want to use the word and hit people over the head with it. If you're going to do that, at least close your Bible. It won't hurt so bad. And that same principle, if we will learn from Him, we are living examples. Each life is a living epistle. Your life is a living testimony of the presence of the Lord in your life. We take Him to the bowling alley on Friday nights. And I told you what that's like. It's loud, it's rough, it's raw, it's cussing, it's swearing, it's loud music on the jukebox, but the four of us are believers and we're bowling, and we have an absolute blast because we don't let that stuff get to us. Do you know what I think of? I used to be exactly like that. What do lost people do? What do we expect? When you go and you're there, it's great fishing. Because they get a little bit loose in the mouth and they start talking. And oh my, does the Lord ever show you places that you can pray and be helpful? It's amazing. It's like all these little goldfish swimming in a bowl. You know? And every time they open their mouth, you see a need. And it's almost sad at times to think that I used to think that was so cool. And I don't think that as long as I'm in the surfsuit that I will ever forget my pre-salvation days, and to make very, very certain that I will never pass judgment on anybody, because if I didn't do it, I at least thought of it. And if I didn't say it, I've at least thought it a few times. And that's just as bad as doing it. But I think about the cross and how God judged all of humanity and found us all guilty, so we're all in the same boat together. Every person that's ever walked this earth, is alive now or ever will be, they've already been found guilty by God and sentenced to death by God. But thanks be unto God for the cross. Jesus bore, He bore the wrath and anger and the death sentence that God passed on humanity. He put it upon His Son in our place, that we have the hope of eternal life, that we can be saved, we can be forgiven, we can be given a brand new life, a life that never exists without the new birth, without being born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. That's how we begin to know the Father. That's where it starts. That's the ground line right there. Otherwise, it's all facts, it's all information, and it's all up here. But when a person gives their life to Christ, suddenly all of that comes down into the heart, and suddenly you have a knowing and an awareness of the Father that you never knew before. It's impossible to know Him except by the Spirit. So that's where we're going to keep going with that. I think I have a few more pages of wonderful things to look at, starting from the perspective of the new man, the new creation in Christ, because now we're going to go to a personal level, learning and knowing Him even more and more, not just gathering information, but knowing Him. And that's an exciting, exciting study. It's been a long time since I've done this, and every once in a while, every 5 or 6 years, those of you that have been here a long time, you know that I bring back some of these things. Because as we grow, and we go on to newer things, and the Word works really well for a long time, and little by little by little, we have a tendency of putting that in the past while I'm ready for new things. But how many times did you say Jesus, see Jesus in the Word, again I say unto you? Or you hear Paul say, I put you in remembrance. Because it's important to go back and revisit some of these because they're life-changing. I don't know. I'm not a one sermon kind of person. I don't usually write a sermon. Not really good at that. But the Lord gives me a topic. And as you know, it takes weeks and weeks and sometimes months. We're 3 years into the book of Ephesians now, and we're still in chapter 2. But that's because a lot of other things come up that are relevant to it, and we explore those because it's such a vast way to increase in the knowledge not only of the Lord but of His Word. And so I tend to be used in this area because as we grow, these things keep us growing. They keep us healthy. They keep reminding us. I learned that a long time ago, but don't let that slip. That's as important as this new thing that we're learning today. So next week, communion, based on the love of the Father and the opportunity for some wonderful things to happen next week. But today's not over. We have today.